Hello and welcome to Radio Free Nintendo. It is September 1st, 2016. And today was the first Nintendo Direct in months. I don't know how many months. I forgot to look it up. But many, many months. This episode is going to focus exclusively on that. And in fact, was released early in accordance with its date. I am joined by Mr. John Lindemann.
Hello, my little friends. Just continue, please. For everybody's sake.
At some point, John watched Scarface and doesn't remember anything about it except this one line that he just mangled.
Oh, I remember many more than that, but for another day.
Also joining us today is Guillaume Vayette.
I don't know. I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
Apocalypse Now.
What?
All right. Also joining us, Mr. Greg Leahy.
Ahoy, ahoy, everyone.
You don't have,
it's not really a film quote. It's sort of half a Simpsons quote.
You don't have any. Okay, that's fine. I was gonna just try to find a good quote just to go with, but then my brain hurt because I'm thinking about Apocalypse Now, and that's what Apocalypse Now does to you.
Greg saw the car crash from far away and avoided getting into the pilot. Yeah.
Oh, good God. All right, so before we get to discussing today's Nintendo Direct, there's a little bit of housekeeping we want to take care of first. So, on Sunday, when this episode would have normally gone up if Nintendo hadn't just dropped a Nintendo Direct with very little warning on us, we will be releasing the next episode of Dr. Jonathan Metz's book podcast. This time, he will be interviewing Rick Powers, formerly of Planet GameCube, and unveiling the mysterious man behind the entire show.
So Rick Powers is an actual name, right?
Rick Powers is not his actual name.
No. Oh. Well,
Rick Powers is an alias.
I see.
Yes. And that actually will be revealed on Sunday on the next podcast of Johnny doing interviews in preparation for his book about the history of Nintendo World Report. I have not listened to this one yet, but knowing what I know about Rick's history with the site, should be good. John, you were there.
Yeah, he killed a couple men.
Yeah.
It's a little known fact, but, you know, sometimes you just got to take people out.
That's what the powers in Rick Power stands for, the power to make you bleed.
Well, I mean, it's not a real name. There's a reason for that. He's an assassin. He had to do what he had to do to keep the site up. You know, it happens.
Yeah, he had the need for speed, as it were. Mm-hmm. So, highballs. Highballs.
It's going.
Highballs, specifically. All right. Also, we now have an official date for the Nintendo World Report Telethon in support of Child's Play 6th Annual. It will be October 15th, which is a Saturday, as always. We will be planning that over the course of the next month. And I'm really looking forward to it. I hope you'll be able to join us. We will be starting at the usual time of around roughly 11:30 in the morning Eastern time. You know, like on a schedule. Hopefully we will have actually started by noon. Haha. Schedule and full details will be available on NintendoWorldReport.com, and I will give more updates as we approach the date of the show. Lastly, last week we teased that we would be doing open world games for our next retroactive, and we asked for your submissions, and you guys delivered. You delivered, like, in ways I didn't expect, but we have created our list of open world games that you can vote for. The poll will be in a link in the show notes for this episode. Your choices are Bully, Scholarship Edition for Wii. Game was also released on 360 and a other version on PS2. Grand Theft Auto Chinatown Wars for DS. The Hulk Ultimate Destruction for GameCube, also available on Xbox and PlayStation 2. Lego City Undercover for Wii U. Retro City Rampage for everything. And Scarface, The World Is Yours for Wii.
Yes.
John, is the world yours?
And everything in it.
Everything in it.
I only fly Pan American Airlines. I want you to know that.
Everything that can fit up your nose is yours.
Mm-hmm.
But this week, it's time to talk Nintendo Direct. Nintendo did a 3DS only, 3DS only, don't ask about NX, 3DS only Nintendo Direct today. And it was mostly 3DS only, as the name would imply. And they actually had way more news than at least I was expecting.
Yeah, I'd say so. It was more substantial than I thought.
But let's talk about it. So, Guillaume.
Yes?
I want you to pick out a news story that matters to you and go.
Well, actually, the thing that got me the most excited are probably the new Street Pass games. Because I'm a ProPay fanboy, or I most days. And yeah, so two of them, I think, were made by ProPay. I forgot which ones. I think Feed Me is one. What's the name in Europe? Like, is it just like food or something?
No, I haven't checked them all yet.
But the
funny thing is, because it's not just the games, though. It's just the basic, like, hey, you know, a lot of the complaints you've had with Street Pass over the past, like, 5 years or whatever.
We're going to fix it now.
Yeah,
in the twilight of the system.
I don't know. Like, it's not entirely kind of a gift, because, yes, like, you've got an accelerated Street Pass Plaza to greet people. So that's free. That comes with the update. But as far as I can tell...
People.
Getting 100 people kind of in line, like kind of queuing up 100 street passes, that's an extra feature where you need to buy the kind of deluxe
premium
thing.
The premium thing, is that?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was extra.
Yeah. So, but maybe I'm wrong, but like at some point, like I bought all the games and then the rabbit stopped me and was like, hey, can I try to sell you on, you know, like that old feature where you get Mii's anniversaries and you get tickets that way. And it also talked about like getting 100, you know, Mii's lined up. So it sounds like it's behind a paywall. And so that's a little bit less interesting. But yeah, like there's five new Street Pass games. One of them, you can choose between two of them. You can choose... How do you say that? You can choose... There's two that you can get for free, but you have to pick one.
Crashers. You can pick one of two of them for free, yes.
Yeah, so you get Market Crashers by Goodfeel and Sudcar Rivals. And the names kind of say everything. Sudcar...
Hi, guys. From Ben. Street Pass Trader. There you go. Have a go at that, guys. Maybe the funniest thing in the Direct... Put your conspiracy hats on. Nintendo wants to train a generation about stocks so they will buy Nintendo stock. Are we all doomed for Street Pass consumer for every Street Pass? So we get closer to be able to buy a product from a select retailer. 10,000 Street Passes for an Amiibo. Or, other way around, buy Amiibo, get a number of Street Passes.
Is it possible that this is a satirical riposte to... the world after the ridiculous fluctuations in their own stock price after the Pokemon Go situation, in which they actually had to say, you know, we already put out, you know, it's already public information what we actually make from this thing, right? Like, it's already taken into account. It's just, I mean...
Yes.
It was embarrassing for those of us who have been taught about the great wisdom of the invisible hand of the market. Let's just put it that way.
It pulled off the artifice that investors actually know what they're doing. Because
it was not inside information, who invested in the project and how much they were going to get and how Nintendo's kind of where they had some direct investment and then there's their piece of the Pokemon company. It's all out there, you know. It's just like, but yeah. So I don't know whether this game is their way of saying, well, you know, it's all a load of nonsense, isn't it? Let's just make a silly game out of it. Probably not. Probably
no.
That would have to have been a bit too expeditious to fit that timeline.
Yeah.
They must have felt like, really? Oh, man. I will say, so I have played Market Crashers.
Mm-hmm.
Guillaume has also played Market Crashers.
Yep.
Ain't much to it.
No.
And I think that is sort of the... It takes a long time to play Find Me.
It does.
You've got... if you've got 10 people in Street Pass, it takes a while. This takes seconds.
Yeah. So and, I got all five games, and I can tell you three of them, Slutcar Rivals, Market Crashers, and Feed Me, are pretty quick. Like, they're really made for, you know, like, I've only got a minute, maybe, to go through my Street Passes, so let's do this. And then Ninja Launcher. Replace Ninja Launcher with, you know, Slutcar Rivals. So those three are really fast, and Slutcar Rivals and Meetrek are a little bit more involved. Meetrek is almost like Find Me, you know. So yeah, so that's for when you can sit down and you've got time to go through your Street Passes. But yeah, like, I don't know, they're all five, like, such silly concepts and so stupid. And they're from the usual, you know, like, the usual suspects, Goodfeel and Propay, and I'm guessing one of them is from Grezzo. Yeah, like, it's, you already know if you want this or not. Like, if you bought the previous Street Pass games, you're probably gonna get this, and if not, well, you know.
It's from the executive series of Koei Games.
Yes.
Market Crashers.
Finally.
I actually kind of dig the idea that the more people you Street Pass, the better information you're going to have about the, like, how effective a stock's going to go in light of, especially, the freak out.
Right.
Over Pokemon Go. It's like, well, no, the more people you have involved, the worse you get. it's a beautiful thing. It really is. I like that they're making a lot of enhancements to Street Pass.
Sure.
I'm not super in love with the fact that it's 2016 when they're doing it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But I do think it probably says, and Street Pass is going to come up again in the show, and in fact, I'll transition to it in a second. It does tell me that Street Pass is not going anywhere.
Well, it just kind of brought the whole thing, really, the direct, you know, with the amount of stuff that was talked about for 2017 and go into this effort with this and with the Street Pass stuff, and then, like, this major update for Animal Crossing and all that. It kind of, you know, suggests that the 3DS is not as near death's door as you might have thought.
Right.
It seems like they're kind of preparing to keep riding that for a while longer, and obviously you don't know exactly when X is coming along necessarily. They've said it's going to be before the end of the fiscal year, but you know, they've missed before. And then also that you don't know how well that's going to do. And I mean, whatever else, 3DS is still the number one, you know, hardware selling in Japan every week. You know, not only does it have an install base that is comically bigger than everything else,
and it's,
you
know, older than everything else too.
Yeah, more than 20 million, you know, compared with, you know, 3 million for Wii U and PS4, and I can't remember where Vita is, but it's also a fraction of the 3DS. But each week it sells more than those, so its lead grows bigger even now. You know, so I, from that point of view, I guess it's understandable, you know, that they're not ready to bury it yet. They've got, you know, they seem like they're preparing a strategy to at least provisionally keep it afloat for a while to come. Of course, you know, perhaps that could be shelved if the NX works the way they want it to work, perhaps. But no such luck for the Wii U. That looks like they're just, you know, they're just already taken that out back and finished it.
Yeah, it's I mean, the fact that they had a 3DS exclusive Nintendo Direct sort of tells the whole tale, doesn't it? That, you know, the 3DS has life left in it, and, you know, we heard rumors in the lead up to this that Nintendo has air quotes plans for the 3DS through 2018, which is a long time away. But, you know, it doesn't seem so implausible in light of the stuff they announced, and we'll get to some of it in a minute. But one of the things that I thought was interesting is that, like, they just announced that the 2DS is going to be released outside of a bundle in Japan for the first time in like 40 colors.
Yeah, it was only with the first time that it came to Japan was with Pokemon pre-installed, the virtual console games pre-installed, which was this year. You know, it was obviously a lot later in Japan, you know, than it was anywhere else. And now, yeah, they're actually, you know, finally releasing that kind of entry-level model there too. So, yeah, I mean, that's it's kind of interesting that they never done that. You know, they've taken this long to get to that point. But so that's because, listen, for whatever reason, you know, Japan, they love the big models with the sort of luxury model, the LL. So I guess they haven't felt the need to put the low end model in until now.
Hmm. Yeah, and it says that they've got at least some aspirations that it will be around as hard. And they talked about a bunch of 2017 games as it is, including announcing two or three in the Western territories and like four or five in Japan. So, I mean, at the very least, this thing has life into next year. But, I mean, that rumor of like this thing's around till 2018 kind of makes sense because Street Pass isn't going anywhere and potentially Street Pass is moving on with the next system. I mean, they seem to be pretty in love with it. But another game that features Street Pass heavily is the port of Super Mario Maker to 3DS.
Yes, and it's called Super Mario Maker for 3DS. So I was kind of wondering, like, are they going to retroactively call the Wii U Super Mario Maker for Wii? Or are we going to have this kind of, you know, uneven...
this unconventional naming structure.
Yeah.
But it's one of multiple Wii U to 3DS.
Yeah,
announcement.
True. That's right. Yeah.
So we had Woolly World. Poochie and
Yoshi's Woolly World.
Poochie and Yoshi's Woolly World.
Get it right, man. Got to represent Poochie.
Yeah, he may or may not die on the way back to his home planet. It's very tense.
Whenever Poochie's not around, the other characters should say, "Where's Poochie?"
Yep.
There you go.
Ah, great idea.
But this is of course not the first Wii U to 3DS port, because that goes to Hyrule Warriors, which they also talked about today
DLC
at length.
It's still going.
Still going. The game that had too much game now has more game available on the 3DS. Ugh. They showed off the Spirit Tracks DLC, which Spirit Tracks gets a lot of shit. I don't think it's fair. I think it's actually better at doing what Phantom Hourglass was doing than it did. But it's also incredibly stupid in the best possible way, because in that game, Zelda is kind of an asshole, and she's been turned into a ghost that possesses armor. And most of the game is Link trying to fix her, presumably to get away from her. And, like, they've put that into the game, which I appreciate. She's not prim and proper, she's just kind of a jerk. Which I'm like, alright, let's do that. That works for me. But I'm still not going to buy the 3DS version of this game, Nintendo.
Hmm.
No, we're not doing that.
They talked about, so this is for both Spirit Tracks and Phantom Hourglass, but they only showed Spirit Tracks content. Like, they didn't show Linebeck, they didn't show the boat. It's just the Spirit Tracks. So I thought that was weird.
Linebeck needs to be in this game.
Well,
because Linebeck is also an appropriately stupid character.
Absolutely.
And I like the idea of him just trucking his steamboat across the ground, but you know, there is a lot of life in the 3DS that seems to be speaking to the lack of life in the Wii U.
No, and also just the fact is that games that have shown something on Wii U that they can, you know, preserve in some kind of viable form, you know, are being moved to the 3DS to get more sales out of them because, we all know, as we said, I mean, you know, there's more than 20 million 3DSs in Japan alone. There's, you know, was it more than 50 or 60 worldwide, compared with 13 Wii U?
Yeah.
It's probably somewhere around there at this point.
Yes.
I mean, there's nothing competing with it either. It's just out there. It's like really the de facto handheld if you want a handheld gaming system.
Yeah, I mean, Vita does still live in Japan in a weird state. But besides that, yeah, I mean, Vita is where you go for your anime games.
Pretty much, yeah. Yep.
Much to
Sony's chagrin.
It is a curious thing. I don't even care anymore. It's a curious thing, really, because we have these games that seemed like they are, you know, Wii U experiences first and foremost, but they found ways to put them on 3DS, and they, by and large, as good as something can look on a Nintendo Direct from a 3DS, they look pretty good.
Well, the Mario Maker thing, of course, is just, as you said, they're like, you're going to have level sharing through Street Pass and not online, basically.
Yeah, we need to dig into that a little bit.
Yeah,
but, like,
so that's a big concession, you know.
I was surprised how good Yoshi and Poochie looked, though. Like how well that captured the game's style.
Pikmin
on 3DS. We haven't talked about Pikmin. Oh my god. I think.
Yeah.
I think this might be the games where new 3DS starts to become comparable advantage, because there are definitely games that
that was already the case with Hyrule Warriors as well, as we talked about when I played it.
Yeah.
You know, like, apparently it's, you know, really kind of a new 3DS game, even though it does function on the old system. It's, you know, it's not just like a somewhat better loading times thing. It runs a lot better on that. Maybe
we'll see
some of the same things with these.
And so to Super Mario Maker for 3DS, as Greg has just said, the weird thing about this game is it can download most levels from the Wii U game. People who made – it's sort of the reverse of Made in Wario. Not Made in Wario. WarioWare DIY.
Yeah, and where the showcase WiiWare.
Right, where you could make games on the DS and you could download them on Wii. This is sort of the reverse. You can make levels on Wii U and download them on 3DS. Unless they have the Super Mushroom or the Magic Mushroom or whatever.
Mystery Mushroom, that's it.
And I would assume that's tied to licenses for some of those, because a lot of like the guest characters and stuff they had.
Mm.
But there must... The other difference, of course, is while it can download levels, it can't upload them. It can only trade them locally, either through Street Pass or just explicitly.
Yeah, so you
with
can
friends.
Make levels on 3DS too, but you know you're gonna have to just distribute them locally or Street Pass. Yeah,
and it added the feature to collaborate on levels.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, because I mean it's one thing that people kind of complained a bit about with the Wii U game is that, you know, what they did, and understandably so in a lot of ways, I guess, is that what you can't do is like download somebody's level, and you can like go and edit it and stuff, but you can't then repost it. You know, and I understand that from the point of view, kind of would cut down on people just making derivative levels, like, you know, derivative of other people's.
Right.
But what it did do is limit the possibility of, like, okay, you know, I'm working on this level. Why don't you have a look at it and, like, have a pass and kind of, you know, maybe tighten some things up here, then send it back to me, and then I'll do, you know, like that. That sounds like a cool sort of thing, and of course, in this case, I guess you'd be talking about people, you know, in the same room with 3DSs, and you could do a similar thing with, you know, just two people in the same thing with one Wii U, maybe. So I don't know how, you know, big of a deal it is, other than I guess, you know, you will. It does actually sort of show. It gives both people credit on the level itself.
Well, and presumably it means they can swap the level when it's not beatable.
Before it's beatable, yeah. You know, I mean, you'd have to make it beatable eventually to actually share it through Street Pass or, you know, but until then, you know, you can torture each other as much as you like, I guess.
Which is a big deal, because a lot of the times that would just mean like they would have to just go and, if they're like, how can I make this thing work? That's how can I make this so this can be passable? Like, that's a big deal, because that's something that would make, that you might want to collaborate on. You might want to sit there and really tweak that stuff.
It would be nice, I mean, you know, if there was if you do have both versions of the game, that you could just like transfer it to the Wii U game and then upload it from there or
that
something.
That would be good.
If there really is like some weird technical bottleneck somewhere or something, an issue, you know, so something to incentivize double dipping, you'd think would be, you know, pretty incumbent on people. Because, I mean, Mario Maker, well, yes, it's stuck on Wii U. You know, it did sell well. A lot of people have bought that game already.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. You know,
and there are
a lot
of
potential customers on 3DS are, you know, those people. So, mm-hmm.
I like the fact that, I mean, hopefully they maybe turn like Mario Maker into kind of a franchise or even like a platform that just continues. Like, when they release a console, they just keep, you know, they can move, because I could see the potential of them being able to, like, have, you could, you know, use creations from years ago, because they're not too crazy, you know what I mean? Like, they're kind of stuck in, like, a time capsule for the most part.
But so, then take it forward to different generations of hardware. I mean, yep. We've already fielded questions on this a bunch of times about your games that might show up on NX, and as, you know, it's the same sort of imperative we thought about in terms of, well, Wii U's been a commercial failure, they'll want to give these games a second chance kind of thing. And you know, so Mario Maker was an obvious candidate in that respect. Obviously, they found a way to do it on 3DS. But, I wouldn't be surprised if it showed up on NX in some form as well. Yeah. Certainly, but I guess this goes to show that they really can't get a viable Splatoon game going on 3DS.
Yeah,
because otherwise they would have done it already.
Because even this game, which is, I mean, obviously the internet component, the ability to upload levels, is technical. There's Nintendo couches it in this terminology of like, this time it's all about sharing with your friends, but like, no, this time it's all about we couldn't figure out how to make this thing work,
in a way that was workable.
I'm guessing maybe they could have done it on new 3DS, because new 3DS does have different wireless hardware. Talk about how it's faster.
Yeah, for downloads and stuff.
So presumably uploads are also impacted by the hardware. But maybe that was it. Maybe just the data that you would have to move to upload a stage to the internet was just kind of crappy and doesn't work super great or something.
Yeah, or it's really slow.
Yeah, something is the player here, and they just said, it's just not worth it. Or we just can't make it work.
Mm-hmm.
But I would assume if they move this thing anywhere else, that will not be a problem. And like I said, they probably could have gotten it working on new 3DS, but maybe they felt like that was too significant of a feature.
Admittedly, there's more new 3DSs in Japan than there are Wii U's. But yeah, if the point is to get it to a bigger install base, isolating it to new 3DS is defeating the purpose.
If you just walled that feature off and said, well, this one's new 3DS only, it would look
cheap. That sounds messy as well in terms of consumer understanding and awareness. Yeah.
Right. So if you just categorically say you cannot upload stages, like, okay. Done. Settled. Understood. It is what it is. It's a simple message. It sucks, but it's consistent. But even so, we sort of alluded to it. There's been talk of a Pikmin game. I mean, friggin' Miyamoto himself said it for a long time. Pikmin 4. I think I was in the room when he said it. It's been a while. Maybe I wasn't. I might have been. That was for 3. That was the time where he said, don't ask you about Pikmin 3, which was amazing. But it's been a while since he confirmed the existence of Pikmin 4.
And it was almost done as well, though.
It was almost done, yeah. And then it simply ceased to exist. And then we get Pikmin Chibi Robo Edition.
Right. So I don't think it's the same thing.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, it didn't stop to exist. Like, he also said we've put aside, like, development for it. Like, it's not a priority anymore. So I don't think he would say that and then, like, here's what's coming for 3DS, you know? But also, yeah, like, it seems like a spin-off game. It's a 2D platformer this time.
Ah!
It seems to have kind of a Mass Attack vibe to it. Like, it looks like... At first I thought, oh, they're making a new Chibi-Robo Ziplash? Why? Because the intro is very similar with the little spaceship that flies onto the screen and beams them down.
It's because, isn't normally that, like, you know, in a Pikmin game, it's the onion that would normally call it, the onions that would kind of come over. But in this case, it was a much more sort of...
Yep. He has a rocket, not a UFO.
Yeah.
Get your canonical spaceships right, Nintendo.
Yeah. So it's very weird, but yeah, it looks like you use the touchscreen to throw Pikmin where you want them, and you solve simple puzzles with them, and so they've got the... we've seen the yellow, red, and blue Pikmin. I don't know if the other ones make an appearance, but they've got the...
They didn't mention them.
You don't give away the farm all at once. You know, it's 2017.
You don't
game,
give away the two Pikmin that everybody already knows exist.
You know,
we just don't know if they're in this game. But, I don't know. It looked... I'm taking a wait-and-see approach for this one. It could be good, like Mass Attack. It could be a new Ziplash, which I was less fond of. And we don't know who's making this. There's one tweet somewhere that says it's RZest, but it's not backed by anything. So
RZest being the makers of
the bad Yoshi games.
Yoshi's New Island, yeah. Well, and there's some sort of reconstituted form of R2, you know, of Blinks the Time Sweeper and Yoshi's Island DS and that Fling Smash, that Motion Plus game. So that wouldn't necessarily be the most encouraging thing in the world, but I don't think it'd like kill interest in it for me either.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm hoping it's more Mass Attack than...
So somebody has...
The glut of 3DS platformers that we have at this point, you know, there's been a lot. Although, I mean, I guess at this point we should just say we're grateful it's not an RPG, right? Like that.
It's true.
You know, it's interesting because people make the obvious sort of comparison to Chibi Robo in terms of, you know, it's a spin-off, it's 2D, it's on 3DS, but I kind of feel like it's more justified in the case of Pikmin in a way because, you know, this has been the first time that you've had an original Pikmin game on a platform with a decent-sized install base, you know? I mean, you do have the new Play Control games on Wii, which has a massive install base, but they were kind of repackagings of older games they didn't get. You know, the full kind of treatment that original new releases get. You know, so you think of Pikmin 1 and 2 on GameCube, which sold 20 million, and then there's Pikmin 3 on Wii U, which is a fantastic game, but, you know, Wii U hasn't sold a lot. I kind of feel like it's more justifiable to make, some spin-off Pikmin kind of product to get those characters out there. On a system that has a player base of a considerable size already. Whereas Chibi Robo, I mean, he had two DS games in Japan and DS was enormous. You know, so I feel like this is more justifiable. Like, maybe we can't do a more traditional Pikmin type experience on 3DS because the low res nature of the platform does kind of make it a bit tricky. I wouldn't say you can't do it because I'm sure you could, but maybe they just don't feel they could do it up to a level that they'd be happy with.
Right.
But to have something that incorporates certain components of the Pikmin franchise or the fundamentals about the way that he uses the Pikmin and their elemental types to overcome obstacles and get treasure and all this kind of stuff. Fundamentally, I think it's a decent idea, but the execution is going to be everything, I guess.
Sure.
It'd be really interesting to see how similar it is to Mass Attack, because people said at the time, like, that could have been a Pikmin spin-off.
Right.
Yeah.
I like the idea of... I really wish they described it as a puzzle platformer instead of just saying.
Yeah, I'm really hoping it's more in that vein than the typical Yoshi, DK, Ziplash. There's been a lot over the New Super Mario Bros. 2. You know, they've built up quite a library on the 3DS at this point. I'm not sure we particularly need another one, but I mean, if it's good, it's good. I mean, I do enjoy that sort of game, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll call tepidly interested in that one. But again, this is a game that is primarily a console experience that they have moved in some form to 3DS because 3DS ain't going anywhere. But that was sort of the refrain of the whole show, wasn't it? That like, we've got all this stuff that we want to show you and, it is like, here it is. Like, we've gotten some email asking, was this Pikmin 4? I think we've already said it almost certainly wasn't, but they're I'm okay with them trying to just do these games differently on different form
factors. Also,
I
think it speaks to the allocation of development resources as well. I mean, a lot of this stuff, like, so we talked about the aspect of just getting games that they like, they're proud of on Wii U, that they wish sold more, like giving them another chance kind of thing. But also, is they are looking to put product in the pipeline for 3DS at a time where their development resources are allocated to NX. So you get in a lot of repurpose-ish type of stuff, where or maybe things that are from some of their other sort of affiliated developers like Ever Oasis by Grezzo as well,
right.
So in some ways it kind of heartens me that on the one hand they're kind of managing to give 3DS more things, 3DS owners more things to look forward to, at the same time it makes me feel like their eyes are on the ball. you know, they've got the resources where they need to be, which is getting us some kind of, you know, sufficiently robust launch lineup and, you know, beyond for NX, you know, because they've got to come out stronger than they have done with the
right.
Wii U and all that kind of thing. Like, that's, so it's like, I'd be a bit scared if this stuff did look too enticing or original or stuff. You know, there's a lot of stuff here. There's, like, for instance, the Mario sports thing. All-Stars with the five sports
right.
in one kind of thing. That's interesting how repurposed-ish that is or not. Because, I mean, you've got golf in there. Well, we've got Mario Golf by mm-hmm. Camelot on 3DS.
Yep.
There's tennis in there. Well, we've got
tennis.
Mario Tennis by Camelot on 3DS. Yeah.
Baseball, soccer.
They're soccer,
solitaire.
Baseball. Yeah, not solitaire. Horse race.
Same thing.
They've got
Japan loves its horse. And
so
I'm sure
the baseball and the soccer stuff's interesting because you might think, well, sluggers and strikers. You know, they've kind of done that. It's been a while, but they did those games on past hardware. But thing is, I mean, for a start, the soccer game's 11 aside, whereas strikers never was. So
right.
that was their
big selling point, was like, it's got 11 aside this time.
Yeah, it's not strikers, but that's kind of their way. It's not the same thing as that. And then, yeah, so does that mean that baseball is going to be sort of different from what sluggers was as well? It's a bit, and then, yeah, the horse racing thing. I mean, what, the out of nowhere? I mean, that's,
well,
yeah,
there is
Japanese.
Horse racing in Sonic and Mario at the Olympics. So even that kind of feels repurposed.
Is there dressage though?
Yeah. Well, no. I think it's like, I think it is dressage in Sario and Monic at the Olympics. Like,
I see.
So this is your authentic. I mean, Japan loves horse racing.
They
we just
do.
Have to live with it. Like that, it just is what it is. Japan freaking loves horse racing, and there was probably already a horse racing 3DS engine from the developer of this game, and they just said, throw it in there, put Mario on a horse, done.
Surely Toad and the Mario Luigi babies are just going to be the best jockeys. There really shouldn't be any kind of...
It's true. It's not fair.
How is Bowser going to compete with that? I mean, really?
I think Bowser's horse should just lie there. You put him on the horse and a meat... Oh, that's going to be a bad joke. I'm
yeah,
sorry,
so,
I'm
I mean, I don't
one.
Want to be too prejudiced. There's nothing new in that game, because they might... But we don't... Yeah, we already saw very little of
we
it.
We haven't seen a baseball game in a while. And
we haven't seen a baseball for
it
a
looked sharp.
They said, I mean, what he was interested with the European, because I've only seen the European ones in full. The wording was very specific. It's like, each one has a tournament mode, which is
yes.
like, all that, you know, their ears have been burning about all the shit they got for Mario Tennis last year. That was,
right.
you know, because that's what it didn't have, was a tournament mode. You know, it's like, it's probably not going to be much one player stuff, you know, but. Damn it, they won't be able to say we don't have a tournament mode.
Yes, they did. They were very clear about that in the US version as well. Each version will have a single player tournament mode and play online with friends and against the best in the world. This really should just be called Mario's Japan Sports Mix. because yeah. Look at this, like, this, if you ever are curious, like, how Japanese is Nintendo, they spent most of the thing talking about Street Pass opportunities, and then they announced a Mario game with horse racing, baseball, soccer. It's like, okay,
tennis and golf. Yeah, I mean, they're
quite
tennis like
and
golf
right,
as well.
Yes. Yeah, it's like, this is for Japan. Like, this is the combination of sports that matters to people of Japanese birth. So, you know, at some point, Nintendo is this Japanese, and right now I'm holding my arms about as far apart as they can go. So, like, we just have to live with this. I do wonder, with all of these announcements, it does kind of lead me thinking about NX. Because, A... Holy shit, is Nintendo Japanese?
Yep.
But B, like, a lot of these things, like you said, we thought we would be seeing a lot of these ports on NX. Mm-hmm. But is Nintendo going to port these games again?
Well, I mean, like I said, Splatoon is the big one.
Right, Splatoon is the missing elephant.
Yeah,
room.
I think that was kind of felt the certain technical limitation, maybe they couldn't get anything that really, you know,
fluid dynamics on 3DS would be a mess.
So, but I think something like Super Mario Maker is like it would be so easy, I think, to make a quickie sequel. You know, like just call it Super Mario Maker 2
and pack, whatever you want to call it, like in the old PC terminology, like right. You know, not exactly like a deluxe version or something.
Mario Maker plus Doki Doki or whatever. Like, I don't know.
No, exactly. I don't think it diminishes the possibility for, you know, and let's face it. I mean, we've often talked about the possibility of Smash Brothers, you know, getting some sort of deluxe, you know, turbo edition or whatever on NX. I mean, that's already on both Wii U and 3DS.
Right.
Yep. Don't discount the possibility just because it is.
Sure, so. But that it came out on 3DS and Wii U
a while ago. Yeah. I know, but still, I mean, the point is, it's not one of those games which didn't get to sell the big numbers because it did.
Right.
You know, but I could still see it getting another version. I don't think it rules that out. What I think this does, though, to some extent, is it kind of clears the decks for them in terms of, like, okay, we've shored things up with people. It's like, yeah, we're committed to 3DS. That's not going anywhere. So, when NX is first talked about, which we expect to be fairly soon, I think we'd all agree it'll be sometime after Sony talks about their new stuff, which is less than a week from now. So it'll be sometime, probably some appropriate time after that. But when they first talk about it, I think that they want people to have the impression of, like, whatever it is, you know, 3DS is over here and it's fine, you know, it's sort of ticking along, you know, NX is going to be sort of its own thing. I think that's the kind of, they laid the groundwork for that with this direct, and I think that was probably a big part of their intention with it, especially in Japan.
Yeah, and if you think about the timing, I think it does sort of, as you say, it really sets us up for, here is what we are announcing now, so let's... So it's still... I think it actually does presage the NX announcements, because now they can say it's still fresh in your memory that we've got all this stuff. And so I didn't see the European one. I've seen the Japanese one and the North American one. The Japanese Nintendo Direct was a very traditional, you know, stand in front of a set and introduce a game, video plays, talk, splash screen showing game and release date and a price, next game.
Mm-hmm. They showed a surprising number of quickie eShop titles.
They did.
Yeah.
But in the North American one, they spent most of it like setting up this completely nonsensical skit where Bill Trennan got trapped in a box. And we can't talk about our future 2017 games without Bill and my 3DS.
Yeah, there's been some great gifts coming out of that one.
Like, they kept coming back to, like, we've got this 2017 future that we can't talk about yet because my 3DS is missing. Like, they really wanted to say the word 2017 a lot of times. Like, with 3DS in the sentence and no games for in the middle of it. Like, just constantly driving the point home. And it makes sense if Greg, you're right. They're saying, like, this was the prequel to whatever the NX announcement. The NX announcement is like they're just giving us the we're still going to be here kind of.
Yeah, it's just like when that comes along, like yeah, this doesn't mean we're killing 3DS because we've already committed to all this stuff, you know, like that kind of feeling.
So I would, and in that case, you Poochie plus Yoshi's Woolly World is 2017, right?
Yes, February, early February. Right about, in my mind, it's just like, oh, it's right around the Super Bowl. I don't know why.
Yep.
That's not a good time of year for me.
So I would assume that, like, at least in that specific case, that probably does put it down as not likely an NX port. Unless...
No, I mean, yeah, I think, you know, they're aiming young with this. I could see them really, you know, trying to hit that with the 2DS. That would be a great game to go with the 2DS in Japan. Yeah, that's aimed at a younger audience. You know, the actual 2DS hardware is, because it's a kind of sturdy kind of construction and, you know, that kind of thing. It seems like that's where that's going. You know, sort of
with the Poochie shorts.
Yes, that's right. You got stop motion animation with Yon, Yoshi, and Poochie, and a Yon Poochie amiibo, which I kind of surprised they didn't do in the first place, rather than just all the colors and the big one.
Well, they talked about Poochie a lot in the lead up. They're like, wow, Poochie's super cute, isn't he, guys? But, like, I don't think they realized what they had, necessarily. And now they're like, Poochie's... We need to talk about Poochie.
It looks, and that's the thing. They're saying that they've got original levels that weren't in the Wii U game that are Poochie-based. It kind of looked like Auto-Runner levels to me, just when they were showing it. But, yeah. Like, you know, he's jumping off, sort of timed enemies or whatever, you know, to keep going. Collecting as many beats as possible or stuff like that. Might not be that substantial. I'd be kind of surprised if it were, but you know, we'll have some original content, and obviously they haven't said what the amiibo is actually going to do. The Yarn Yoshi one didn't do much. It kind of saved your favourite pattern of Yoshi, which of which there were many in that game, included Super Famicom Yoshi, if you're over here, which was cool. But yeah, it's, you know, I like that game a lot, so I'm glad that it'll get the chance to, you know, reach other players and that they think, you know, they think it was sort of worth doing that with, you know, because it's, Yoshi games, you know, that was the first Yoshi game on a console for ages and stuff. You don't know how many they're going to do. So it's nice to see it get kind of a bit of a new lease on life. I'm sure a lot of people will get to enjoy it because it's pretty rock solid. I also hope they will put the gyro aim in there, they did with like they did with the 3DS game and with the Wii U game. If you using a Wii remote, but they didn't have it if you was using the gamepad for some reason. I hope that wouldn't carry over because it improves the pace a lot. And they've got the little mini Poochie pups to help find secrets this time, which they already had stuff in there to help with that. The sort of pat system, you could spend beads on little, you know, consumable things to help you find stuff. But I guess maybe that wasn't. Maybe they've got feedback that people just didn't use those, even if maybe they would have benefited from it. So, yeah, if you're not an old Yoshi veteran that knows a lot of the sort of tricks that they use with invisible things and, you know, backgrounds that you can sneak behind and stuff like that, I think that's, you know, again, aimed at the younger end of the market to help them sort of access that component of the game, you know, finding everything.
I really wonder if the graphics are going to come through though. Like so much of the appeal is you know, from the HD version, to seeing the textures, like the recognizing like the materials that the game, like the world is made of, and it's just you know, it just looks great. And then the 3DS, even, you know, most of the time 3DS games come across better on a 3DS screen than on when we see them, when we see footage on the internet. But
yeah,
I don't see how like a 3D stereoscopic 3D is gonna fix this.
Yeah, it can't. Yeah,
no, I mean, it looked nice from the video, but
it's not gonna have that.
Very
that
obviously, some of that stuff was missing.
No, it's not gonna have the sort of that. Gives it the sort of tangible feeling, you know, like on Wii U, where, it's, you know, where, like you said, where you identify specific materials that something's used.
It feels like a thing you could hold.
Yeah,
like
that is going to get lost. It's going to get sort of, you know, it's going to become a bit more abstract and stuff, but it'll still be cute and good.
And it'll still be a good game. Like, that's the important thing. It doesn't survive just on being cute. It's a good game in and of itself.
No, it's another good feel. You know, back to good feel again. It's another one of their, you know, platformers in the lineage of the, you know, they did Wario, they did Kirby's Epic Yarn. They've done this. They've done a good job with all of them, in my opinion.
Yep. So let's talk about some of the not Wii U ports. We can kind of go through these a little bit. So, like Tank Troopers, which feels a lot like Sub Wars.
Well, yeah, actually, the look, I don't know if it's because if you kind of try to go for a game that seems to be set in the European countryside, like it's always going to look like that, but it reminded me of Battlefield Heroes, that EA game.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, free-to-play game that they had for a while. I don't know, except that in this case, you don't get out of your tank. You just, you're in the tank and you shoot at other people. But it looks like they had more footage in the Japanese Nintendo Direct, and it looked fun. It looks like it has, you know, enough personality to it. And it's just kind of cute. Like, one of the tanks was a turtle on treads. Another tank was shooting paintballs. So you had, like, kind of that, Mario Kart, like, ink effect.
The blooper effect.
so it just, you know, it looks like it could be fun, but I've seen nowhere mention of online play. So that would probably kill the game right away for me. Like if you need to find five other people to play with, it's like
specific reference to six players and all that. But I mean Subwars was online. They was like that was the whole point of it. Free to start kind of online game, but I have no idea how similar a model they're going for with this.
Right.
Yeah. I'll be curious to say the least.
It could very well not be online.
Does anybody have anything else they want to talk about from the Western ones before I pivot us to my learnings from?
I don't know how
Japanese.
We've got this far without addressing the blocky elephant in the room that is Picross 3D.
Oh, that's right. Because much like Devilish Brain Training in Europe, I had forgotten the game exists.
But it was one of these things that go back to E3. And with this direct, both times I've been kind of like, that's the kind of thing that could be, and it's available now. So I'm stoked. I'm stoked for it. And then it's like, oh, they're talking about it. This looks good. 2nd of December. And then to make it worse, I discover that it is on sale now in America.
It sure is.
Bastards. Yeah.
Like, so I saw somebody freak out on Twitter, somebody I follow from Europe, and I'm like, why are they upset? It's out now. Oh, it's not. What the hell?
Yeah, so basically, it's very much a replication of the Rhythm Heaven situation.
It is.
As it's just like, we are getting a physical copy of Picross 3D round 2, I should say.
It's too many numbers.
Yeah, and much like we're getting a physical release of Rhythm Heaven Megamix, but what that's done is set the whole calendar back. So like, we're not getting Rhythm Heaven till October, which is what, like 4 months after it was in the States, and then not getting Picross till the very beginning of December, the same day as Super Mario Maker for 3DS. That's like a 3 month lag. So yeah, that's a little bit annoying, but they did, put a bit of a kind of pain relief onto it by making Picross 3D, the original for DS, available as Virtual Console game on Wii U for Europe, a slightly lower price than the bigger games on DS, like the Star Fox or Mario or all that kind of stuff. For me, that's as much as I love that game, I'm not going to be getting the cart back out to play this point. Take up the cartridge slot with that, but having it sitting around on my Wii U to hack away at every now and again while I wait 3 months for the 3DS sequel is something I can live with.
I was excited for the announcement, but then I realized, oh no, they're going to put a Canadian pricing on this. So with taxes, and we've got pretty heavy sales tax in Quebec, but it would amount to $50. So fuck that. I'm going to wait.
No.
Every year around your birthday, if you've got your My Nintendo account linked and kind of all set up and everything, you get a 30% discount on the game. So I'm going to wait for my birthday, I guess. But 50 is just way too much. And that kind of soured me on the whole thing.
That is out of whack. It was $30 in the States, right?
$30, yes. Like the kind of the price hike on the Canadian eShop is not representative of the actual value of the dollar. Like they're giving themselves a margin just in case Canada really gets fucked. And
you gotta price it in.
It's a bummer, and it's just I feel like the whole like, and it's available right now, you can go download it on your 3DS, really works better when it's an impulse buy, an impulse purchase.
Cheaper,
like if it's $10, it's like, all right, I guess I'm not gonna get sushi for lunch at work today. But if it's $50, it's like, well, maybe I have to change my weekend plans. It's really not the same thing. And so I'm gonna wait.
I'm a little surprised to hear it's that expensive. You said some of that was tax, or was that?
It's $43.
Okay, so it's not. God, that's a lot of tax on a digital product. Holy shit!
Yeah, I should have lied and pretended I was from Alberta.
You should.
Yeah. Too late now.
What's the most laissez-faire part of Canada?
Probably like, Alberta.
There you go.
Well, they got all that oil money, that's why.
You should you should write your prime minister to stop appearing in Marvel comics and fix the tax system. So I just dated this one again. Let's talk about the Japanese Nintendo Direct, because it's got some interesting little features in there. I went and watched the whole thing.
Are you going to start by talking about that kind of train simulator where there's floating rice balls everywhere and all of a sudden a giant baby attacks?
It sounds like a simulation.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Momotaro Densetsu, which is an interesting game in and of itself. So it's a series of games. They're originally Hudson games. They're board games. And basically, they take place on the train system. And you go around and you ride the train by rolling dice, and you buy property, and you try to make money. It's, you know, it's, there's obviously parallels to, like, Fortune Street and Monopoly and stuff
like that. Yeah, that sounds fun.
And the series is pretty popular in Japan. In fact, they've had celebrities sort of like appearing as the spokespeople for the games for a while there. But after Konami decided to stop making games, this was a video game. And the series had been annualized, and then it wasn't anymore.
Hmm.
There was a rumor last year that Nintendo had bought the rights to the series from Konami, although it had never been proven or decisively confirmed. But now we have one, and we didn't before, so... Well, Japan has one. We don't have one. But presumably that is in fact the case, that this game now exists and it's being made by people who used to make the game who's making it, but presumably it's people who used to make these games that are either under Nintendo's employ or paid for by Nintendo's dime. But regardless, hey, this game exists. Isn't that cool? Great, a officially Konami game exists, and in fact, there were two, because there's a new Power Pro Baseball that got announced. Power Pro Baseball Heroes, which is not a game I expected to see at all.
I guess it'll never die.
It'll never die. Yeah. I'm cool. Like, seeing Konami's logo is kind of an amazing thing, isn't it?
Mm. But did you see any baseball going on? I saw the characters that they mostly seem to be talking to each other.
And they just talk. It's like an RPG.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I didn't. You're right.
So there's that. And they also made a Puyo Puyo RPG.
They did. They made a Puyo Puyo RPG, which is not Konami.
No, that's Sega. But
yeah, I saw that and was like, oh, wow, that Puzzdraw RPG must have done well. Like, that's the only thing I could think of, because there's so many of these weird, like, here's this other game, also now RPG has been tacked on to the end of the phrase.
You've also got Monster Hunter Stories, which is kind of a bit that way, you know, in terms of making it more of a traditional JRPG, and aesthetically it's
now with Majora's Mask clothing.
Yeah, that part of the Monster Hunter cannot be changed. There's got to be Zelda clothes. That's in some part.
Some kind of game you'd rather be playing wrapped over on the characters. There's a Megami Mei. Hold on. There's a Capcom announced game, Megami Meguri, which I just wrote in my notes as, quote, wow. It is a game where you play as... Well, I mean, you don't play as anybody. You are interacting with a spirit who is in your Japanese rail pass who wants to become a god, and you are doing things like teaching her to talk and stuff. So, like, you're teaching her words and interacting with her, and it's using, like, a really apparently a very impressive text-to-speech that Capcom and Toshiba created. And it you can scan your actual rail pass, you know, for your Japanese rail on, John Lindemann, and the game reacts to, like, what stations it is for. This 3DS is going nowhere except into weird places. This game is sort of beautiful in and of itself. Like, just, it's so insane that I'm like, you know what? That's great. Thank you,
so
Capcom.
So does that need the hockey puck if it isn't a new 3DS to read?
I guess
NFC
it does, yeah.
But, I mean, they've sold plenty of new 3DSs in Japan, I suppose.
There was a RPG Maker Fest for 3DS, which is not new. That was announced
previously. It's such a poor city of those games. They sort of crowdsource it.
There's two products. There's RPG Maker Fest and RPG and Maker Player. Maker Fest is essentially like a RPG Maker, if you've ever used that product. But now it's on your 3DS. You can design your own 3DSs. Then Maker Player is you can download the games people have made onto your 3DS. So yeah, because of the lack of 3DS RPGs, including the ones that were other games that got turned into RPGs that we just talked about, now that need has been met for your Japanese 3DS. I would love to see that game come out here, but it probably won't. Was there any other ones that we wanted to call out? Miitopia, which is
mysterious.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
It's just a logo for now.
Yeah, it's dated for 2017, right?
No, 2016.
Is it? I thought it was 2017.
I thought it was 16. But it's coming to hardware too. Like it's 17. Okay, but like they're releasing a physical copy of that whatever it is.
Well, and it kind of has a sword, you know, pictured, yep. And it's like, and so is that another RPG of sorts? I don't know.
But maybe it should be like
it's 2016. I'm looking at the logo right now.
2016, you're right.
Yeah.
What?
Is it?
Miitopia 2016, digital and retail. That's all they announced.
Okay.
I think a sort of SimCity type of thing would be a wise move, with Miis as your resident.
But John's right, there's a sword too, and the Miis have like devil horns and a witch's hat.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's like, you know, ActRaiser. There we go. Of the,
keep telling yourself that.
Everybody wants ActRaiser.
You leave things vague. And nobody wants ActRaiser to them. What you want? That's what happens. I've got to say, I expected it to be more Poketastic than it was.
Right.
They obviously talked about Sun and Moon a little bit, and I know. Look, the Pokemon, they handle a lot of Pokemon stuff separately. I mean, we know that, but they did have some more little details about Sun and Moon. I always kind of think, especially on the Western side, you know, like a Detective Pikachu localization, or at least some sort of tease for that, mm-hmm. you know, or some other spin-offs, or just general, you know, kind of riding the wave of the.
Right.
I wonder if the wave is so high right now they feel like they don't need to.
Yeah,
well, it felt like, you know, they were showing off Rattata, and it's just like, wow, you're really not trying.
Yeah, it's like if you play Pokemon Go, you hate Rattata, like, because
This is nocturnal dark normal type.
I get it.
We've heard word that the pre-orders for this game are high. Higher than previous entries.
They've had to give people an incentive to buy it early with that whole Munchlax thing. And that kind of cracked me up. This was like, wow, you're really worried about people waiting on this one?
Yeah, it's weird. But it does seem like they have a... Maybe they just feel like they don't need to. Instead, we had the talk about the add-on for Animal Crossing. It's going to actually now let you use Amiibo in the original Animal Crossing for 3DS. Animal Crossing...
New Leaf.
What was it called?
New Leaf.
New Leaf.
New Leaf, yeah.
New Leaf, yeah, yeah. And it's so much so that they're going to re-release it physically with a new name. Now it's
Welcome
like
Amiibo.
And Amiibo, yeah. A new line of Amiibo cards for that game, because of course... but again...
Don't forget, it was on the Amiibo subject, the Zelda ones were unveiled.
Yeah.
Sort of, you had 8-bit Link, in the tradition of the 8-bit Mario, which is an Amiibo that John actually owns.
Are you in on this one as well, John?
Yes, I probably will. I saw it, here we go.
He's got a nose.
They really need to do they need to sort of complete the trifecta to an 8-bit Samus if they ever acknowledge the 30th anniversary of that.
I'm not proud of it, but I mean, this is what I am, Greg.
Didn't they announce three? you are an 8-bit caricature, yes. Yeah. didn't they also announce like three books? for the 30th anniversary.
Like, just... yeah, it's a lot of product, yeah, but not a lot of game, obviously. Yeah, but it did Skyward Sword on Wii. Wii. Yeah, the Wii downloadable through Wii U. Over here, the new play control Pikmin showed up as well, even though they didn't actually say that it would.
Oh, that's right.
It just kind of, like, they forgot that, or they added that component after the presentation was finalized or something. That just showed up. The second one would be nice, because that actually isn't the physical copy of the new Play Control for Pikmin 2 is not that easy to get hold of over here. It came out much later in America as a select, so it might be a bit different there. But I would be kind of interested to go back and play 2 that way. But I've got to say, of the Zelda amiibo, Wind Waker Link pretty in the pose from the Japanese box art that's beautiful. That is very, very nice.
Yeah, I will say that I might bite on the first book they announced. Images and Artifacts? Because it's just, over 1,000 pieces of art from the Zelda series? Like, that's dangerous. That's a dangerous... It's not like the Chronicle
Historia
book.
Yeah, the Historia, we had the timeline and all. I mean, it had lots of concept art, but yeah. I
it was much more words. This just seems like it's an art book.
This is all concept art, presumably.
Yeah, that's precarious for me, potentially. But I was surprised watching the Japanese Nintendo Direct. They spent time on, you know, like, hey, these books are coming here too, and like we're going to talk about them pretty extensively. So like as you said, there is a lot of product but not a ton of game. They also talked about the NES Classic Edition a little bit. They tied that into Zelda as well. But yeah, I think that pretty much covers everything. Greg, strongly, I'm not sure if I should recommend or strongly not recommend you watch the North American one to see whatever the hell that skit was.
Yeah, I gotta say, by contrast, this was much more, this is a pattern. Nintendo in Europe tends to stick more to the Japanese style. Obviously, they have their own people, you know, Shibata and this Ed Valiente that's been showing up on the last few, but, you know, it's people on their own standing in front of, you know, a background,
right,
speaking and introducing video
stiff
clips.
Upper lip.
Whereas the North American one is Bill Trennan is now inside a shipping crate going to Fiji.
Yeah, the skit
stolen
stuff,
donuts.
The skit stuff is very particularly an American phenomenon, it would seem.
Yeah,
it's bizarre. It's truly a strange thing, to say the least.
I mean, we do occasionally get, you know, Shibata with the Phoenix Wright hair or doing the Overwatch dance. So I don't want to make it sound like super
no,
dry.
No, but
never like, or him doing karaoke or whatever. But he's on his own. It's the point. There is not
scripted
interaction with other people.
Like where Iwata would walk out wearing a strange hat or with the Poltergust or whatever. Again, it's very much like the Japanese ones where he just comes out with something. And it is what it is. But in this one, it's much more like, hey, Bill just wandered into a box because he's hiding from Reggie because he stole Reggie's donuts. Now we're going to do 5 minutes about that. It's not the core of the production. They don't feel like they need to build a skeleton of some dumb concept. So it's a thing, definitely. I'm not sure if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's definitely a thing. But yeah, I guess that's really all we've got with respect to content of Nintendo Direct. We sort of touched on the big themes. Did anybody want to conclude some thoughts before we wrap this up?
I don't know. Like I've seen kind of a wide range of reactions. A lot of people were surprised that there was as much newness as there was in this Nintendo Direct. I'm probably amongst them. On the other end, like a lot of people I follow on Twitter already have a Wii U, so a lot of these announcements are just like, well, it's not that great.
It's
like,
not for
this
me.
Is not helping
yeah,
me.
Kind of
yeah.
Thing. Yeah.
But yeah, like overall, I'm pretty positive about it. There's a lot of interesting games in there. But I, you know, wait and see. Like I'm not gonna get super psyched for Pikmin 4 before, or Pikmin whatever this is, Pikmin Untitled.
It's Pikmin title to be announced.
Yes, you know, without knowing more about it, like this could be interesting, or it could be good. It could be very, very bad.
Or it could just be nothing. It could be sugary nothing.
Yeah. So I don't know. It was an interesting, like, we knew it would only be 3DS, and I think we got more than we expected. So it's probably a win for Nintendo. Yeah.
I was surprised how much unannounced 2016 content there was.
Yeah.
Now we had kind of noted that their E3 lineup seemed deliberately sparse. Mm-hmm. Like they only talked about Ever Oasis and Pokemon with respect to 3DS games for the most part.
They did the little bit on Mario Party, which they touched on.
A little bit. But like, it seemed like the 3DS needed to have more titles than this. And it did. It just turns out there were Wii U ports. I did not expect to see that when they announced Mario Maker, I did not expect to see it was this year. Like that was definitely surprising.
Yeah, it's quick, isn't it?
Yeah, they can really turn those games around.
I think that the fact that the 3DS is now encroaching in the space of what we consider to be these are Wii U games. You know, we talked about, and I had especially been sort of expressed concern here, that if Nintendo is unifying towards a singular platform, that we're going to lose the concept of, like, this is what a portable game feels like, this is what a console experience feels like. That instead we're going to end up with either some mix of the two, or we're going to end up with just one vision, or it's going to end up muddled. I think Nintendo has just went and said, like, no, we can do that with two platforms, so deal with it.
Or at the very least, I think this says that maybe 3DS is going to be probably not an integral part, but it's going to definitely be a tie-in product to whatever NX does. In other words, they're not just dropping it off of a cliff because, hey, you'll still be able to use it with NX in some way.
Right. It's not. They're not going to third pillar it, as we say.
Yeah.
Which is if. Because you could conceivably be too young to remember that and listen to our show. Uh-huh. When they announced the DS, it was, quote, the third pillar for Nintendo, but the GameCube and GBA. They then summarily tried and failed to execute the GBA for about two straight years.
Yep.
And it just kept selling. But
I do think, though, there might be some parallel in that if NX is really quite, hits the ground running and does well, they might cut off support for 3DS a lot quicker in the Western markets than they do in Japan. You know, GBA kind of kept going for a lot longer in Japan than it did elsewhere. And, you know, so with stuff like Rhythm Heaven and Mother 3 and all, you know, I think you could see an analogous situation if NX did really well.
Especially if the rumors that have started to come out about NX, we're not going to talk about it right now. But if we find that they are grounded in reality, then that makes a lot of sense because, you know, the idea that it is a portable-ish first would say that if the NX is taking off, then and you can't play 3DS games on it, then there's really not much point for Nintendo of America to be spinning up a lot of 3DS marketing resources because they almost wouldn't want you to buy a 3DS because it probably would preclude you from buying.
Oh yeah, and that's very much the situation that you got to with the GBA.
Right.
It's almost like they're actively dissuading you from buying the GBA.
Please don't buy the GBA. Please buy the DS. You can play all the GBA games on the DS. Please buy the DS. Please buy the DS. But also here's the GB. Here's the GB Micro. Yeah, I think I came away, like, nothing in this jumped out at me as, like, I need to have that. Like, that game is everything to me right now. You know, Ever Oasis is very curious. They still didn't talk much more about it than they did at E3. And I think that was a missed opportunity. But, like, I want to see a lot more of that game. You know, the thing that I walked away with more was, like, just the variety in the Japanese lineup. And I don't think we're going to get Megami Meguri. I would be overjoyed if we did. But like, there's so much more happening there. And I hope we get some of that. You know, I'd play a Puyo RPG. Sure, why not? you know, there's interesting stuff happening in the 3DS space there that I hope we get our own shot at. Finn. anyone else? All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for our reaction to the Nintendo Direct, and in fact, for this episode. As we said at the beginning of the show, on Sunday, we will be posting the next Jonathan Metz book interview podcast, this time with Mr. Rick Powers. You can learn more about Rick's role in running Planet GameCube and his secret identity by listening to the show. Additionally, we will be posting, or we will have posted, the poll for our next retroactive for open world games. Thanks to all who submitted game ideas to us. We had way more than we could use, and we're really looking forward to doing this one. We'll have more details about when we're going to do it later. And, of course, we have announced telethon date. It is October 15th. More details to come. You can send us an email about your desire to play Megami Meguri to our inbox. This is rfn@nintendoworldreport.com. There's a link in the show notes. Unfortunately, we can't interface your 3DS so your words can teach an aspiring god how to speak. But we can teach us how to speak because we probably need it. And that will do it for the show this week. Greg, what is our end theme and why?
Pikmin. Pikmin, you know, there is a new Pikmin game. Despite
Pikmin, sort of Pikmin parenthetically, tentative.
Yes, yeah, questionably Pikmin-ish. We don't really know how Pikmin-ish it's going to be yet, but it's a good excuse to wheel out some Pikmin music, which we haven't done before. And I've chosen some battle music, something a bit more up-tempo than you normally associate with Pikmin, because this is from Pikmin 3, the Plasm Wraith boss fight. Somewhat unusual, but no less lovely bit of Pikmin music.
Excellent. And on that, it's time in the show. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Later.
Bye-bye.